Welcome to The Positivity Effect, where paying it forward and doing something positive in someone's life can provide them with the confidence and motivation to do the same for someone else. Like a stone dropped into a lake, let's create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world. And it begins with your host, Dr. Thomas Retscher.
What's up? Happy Thursday, guys. Welcome back. You're listening to The Positivity Effect, episode number 17. We have Igor Kafets in the house again, and we're talking about success. What it means to him, what it really looks like on a day-to-day basis and what he does. And we dive into what a day in the life of an internet marketer looks like a little bit as well. So throughout the episode, there is this theme about visualization and personal relationships. So really lock in to what Igor's saying with those ideas in mind, guys. All right, let's roll. Here's day two with Igor Kafets. We got Igor on the line. He is here. What is up,
I'm here, my friend? Doing great, man. Excited for day two. Day one was awesome. Good. I actually enjoyed it a lot, so let's get rocking.
Let's get right into it. So we talked a lot about your mindset and your business, and I'm sure people are wondering, what is your business? You know, you work online, you have an online business. I alluded to that, you know, you even consult to me. So tell us a little bit more about what you do.
Well, it's funny you ask that question, because doing this for like 8 years or something, probably more than that at this point, not everybody who knows me knows what I do. Like, if you were to approach my dad and ask him what exactly does your son do, he's going to say, well, he's on the internet, which of course could mean a gazillion different things. But to put it in a way where even if anyone listening is not familiar with the internet and the way the internet works, what we do is we're information marketers. And that means, like, if you ever bought a book, or if you ever went to a seminar, or if you ever, you know, even listened to a podcast, you've became a consumer of information. And in today's day and age, information is one of the most profitable commodities that you can sell. Now, it's also very fun to sell information too, because you actually don't have to produce anything either. Like, if you don't have information to sell, you can just interview an expert and package it up as a valuable product to whoever needs it. And the only thing you need really is a market, is just a bunch of people who suffer from a problem, you know, whether it's acne, whether it's excessive weight, or maybe they want to get their ex back, or maybe they want to like master Aikido or whatever, you know. Like, there's a bunch of people. Like, everybody goes online looking for information, looking for answers to their questions. And you always see information products on sale revealing how to solve a problem. So that is why I chose to become an information marketer. You see, because I start out as an MLMer online, but
for those listening, some people may not know exactly what is an MLM. Why don't you explain that quick?
MLM is called multi-level marketing. Most people know this as a pyramid scheme, of course, but not all of it is a scheme. And there's some great companies out there who basically offer great products, and you can sell these products as a reseller and get a commission. And if you're first somebody who can do the same, then you get a commission for their commission, which is called residual income. So getting online, since I didn't have any money, that was like the best way to start.
It's like building up like a sales team almost. That's everybody's working for each other. That's powerful.
Yeah, exactly. And you get to profit from the efforts of your downline, and they get to profit from the efforts of their downline. So it's like you said, a team effort, a collaborative effort. So that's actually also Donald Trump and Robert Kiyosaki recommend network marketing as the number one way of getting started if you want to become self-employed, because this is where you learn a lot of these great lessons necessary to start your own business. You know, not to mention that you don't have to manufacture or create any products. to get yourself off the ground, and you can do it part time while still holding on to a full time day job.
And yeah, yesterday you talked about that you've been every guru under the sun. Like you've learned, you've reached out to so many mentors, and you had a lot of teachers. And I'm sure that was what you were doing too. You were actually learning while you were doing. You were doing both at the same time instead of just consuming. And then after finished consuming, then let me figure out how to now apply this knowledge.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess to an extent, but at first I was probably just like anybody else, just consuming a lot of information, shackled by fear, if you will, of implementing, because what if I fail? Right. And there's always this, fear of failure at the back of my mind. And I see it everywhere today as well.
When was that moment for you, Igor?
When it changed?
Yeah, because I think somebody's driving right now and they're like, I have been thinking about going to the gym for the last 3 months, and they're listening to this podcast and on the way to work, and they're like, I don't know, like just mentally, their mind is blocking them. What was that? When did that block or fog get lifted for you? When you were like, no, like I am going to change. I'm going to make this happen.
Well, if you think about it, the only way anyone is going to get motivated to make a change is if the alternative to the change, which is things staying the same, is going to outweigh the action required to make the change on the scales. So it's funny you asked me about somebody wanting to go to the gym, because I used to be overweight, like big time. Mm-hmm. And you know when it all changed for me? When I looked in the mirror, butt naked, and I saw myself fat and ugly. And I said, man, no woman's ever gonna sleep with you like that.
It was the scale that you had, that you needed.
Yeah, and I quickly realized that unless I change, unless I do something to change, I'm going to end up in a life where I'm single and miserable. And even if I have money, I'm still going to be miserable because I'll be fat. So long story short, the next day I make a clear and decisive decision to get off soda pops, get off cakes and sweets, start dieting and start working out. And within 2 months, I think I lost 20 pounds. And a couple of months later, I got my first girlfriend. And basically that, everything changed for me since that point. But that was with regards to weight loss. With regards to making money, that was a little bit more of a difficult journey because, it's not so tangible.
Right, right.
Right, it's this battle in our mind. And it's now that I realize how I operate, like the mechanism with which I use to make decisions, I can influence that. I can like observe myself and influence the decisions that I want to make or not want to make. But back in the day, I did not know what I was doing. So the only time that I can remember when I worked up the courage to do something is any time when I got so sick and tired of where I was that I just had no other choice, knowing that unless I take action, I stay forever in this, really bad place, which I didn't want to stay. Like I hated it so bad that I was willing to do something I hated less to get out. Mm. That makes sense.
That's so true, Igor. And it's like, it really is. It's a process too. It just doesn't happen overnight sometimes.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's definitely not going to happen overnight. In fact, you'll need to read many books and go to seminars and get influenced by a lot of different people before it's gonna click for you. And that's a trick when it comes to information. There's a ton of great information out there, isn't? I mean, there's just a ton.
Ton, yeah.
A ton. There's like a gazillion experts on everything, and a lot of them give their best tips, their best advice for free. I mean, even this podcast has already given you a bunch of great advice, but how come then, if there's so much great information, there's a shortage of people who are brave enough and courageous enough to act with no regards on whether or not they're going to fail, and just who are willing to just, do whatever it takes? There's very few individuals like that out there compared to the amount of people who are just sitting on their butts watching TV all day long.
It is. It's true. It's taking that action, and we're talking about you, Igor, and having like an online business, and this rule applies to any, you know, if we're talking about business or making money specifically, you know, even if someone has, whether they have their own business, whether it's brick and mortar or online, or if they're working for, you know, a company and they're an entrepreneur, you know, they're working for a company and maybe they've been working for the same company for many years and, you know, they're happy with where they're at, but maybe every single day that they go home, in the back of their mind, they say, you know what, tomorrow I'm going to ask for that raise. And that thought just continually, maybe for years, just continually gets pushed down. And for years, they actually put off, and the confidence level isn't there to go to their boss and say, listen, you know, I know what I'm worth. I know the value that I'm providing to the world, that I'm providing here at this company. You know, I think I deserve this. And I think so many people, whether their own business, you know, trying to go out and build a business, get sales, or working for someone, they're paralyzed by that fear of taking action.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it's, you know, we've touched upon this, but there's this fear of failure where going and asking for the raise might result in getting a no. And think about, like, how many people you know love getting a no?
Zero. Negative 50.
Yeah, nobody likes that. Nobody likes rejection. That's actually why a lot of people don't do network marketing, don't do sales, don't do marketing, because, you know, as marketers and salespeople, we deal with a lot of rejection. So this rejection is the fear of it is so great that it just paralyzes you. And I completely get that. I completely get that. And that is why it's important to have, you know, the scales and see clearly exactly, you know, not asking for that raise, what is that going to result in? And because I assure you, I'm sorry, I'm just going to finish this thought.
No, go.
I assure you that if there was a gun, if you point a gun to my daughter's head and say, hey, go ask for a raise, don't need to get it, just need to ask for it. Unless you do, your daughter's going to die. I'm going to go and I'm going to ask for the raise because the alternative of my daughter dying is more painful than, you know, getting rejected. Then rejection doesn't even seem all that horrible, does it?
Yeah. And I guess that's just tying in what we spoke about yesterday is how powerful that visualization process is. And it has to be done. You can't just like one day say, all right, you know, I'm going to sit here for 10 minutes and I'm going to visualize what I want out of life. It really has to be a daily process. Because the more more you do it, it starts to become your reality. And you start to say, this is, you know, if the person's visualizing walking into that office, asking for the raise, you know, walking with confidence and, you know, thinking about all the positive things that they're going to have, they're going to impact the world, how they're going to help have more money to, you know, to make their family more secure. They keep visualizing that they're going to walk in and they're going to knock that interview, you know, process to get a raise out of the park.
You know, here's what I think about setting goals, visualizing, and just setting your mind on something, right, and getting it done and getting that result. The problem with believing that if you just think right and if you prepare yourself, you're going to get that result is that we don't control the result, unfortunately. Like, let's just take this simple example of getting a raise. So we don't know what it's going to be because we don't know what, you know, our boss is going through that day. Maybe 2 minutes ago before we walk in, he gets a call from the hospital, you know, saying his, you know, wife is in a coma or something. Maybe he got up on the wrong foot. Maybe he just got diagnosed with cancer. We're definitely not getting a raise no matter what we do in that situation, right? So we don't have control, 100% control over the outcome. So instead, what we need to do is we need to focus on ourselves.
And how we react.
Yeah, the preparation we put in, right? Are we ready to handle any objections that come up? Like, if we ask for the raise and he's going to ask us an uncomfortable question, can we actually answer that question in order to keep on with the same direction? Like, if I have several team members, and if one of them comes asking for a raise, I will ask them at least 5 different questions, which will show them, unless they can answer them, of course, which will show them why they're not qualified for a raise. Or maybe if they demand a raise anyway, I'll say, okay, so here's what you need to do to get a raise. And I'll put some challenges in front of them.
Hmm.
So I guess what I'm saying is this. We can't control the outcome. And believing that we can is actually fooling ourselves. I went through, for years believing that I'm supposed to control the outcome and getting upset about it, which I no longer want to do. So instead, focus on yourself and ask yourself, what do I need to do? What kind of person do I need to become in order to be qualified for that raise, you know, hands down or no doubt, whatever, like, what kind of person do I need to become? And am I that person that gets me that raise automatically?
Oh, that's so powerful. I love that you tied that in. I wasn't even thinking about that. And it's so true. How would you say too, even Igor talking about, you know, we're talking about it professionally, you know, what about using that same analogy with family, you know, in your case with your wife and your child?
Well, that's not a great question. You know, I used to have real trouble communicating with my wife, especially after our daughter was born. There was a strain in the relationship because all of a sudden I'm not getting enough attention. All of a sudden I'm not the priority. You know what I mean?
Right,
all of a sudden she's pissed off all the time. I'm pissed off all the time. We're getting very little sleep. So it's not an easy time. You know, it's a real test for a couple, if you will.
It's very difficult,
yeah. Yeah, and I would always blame her for things. I would be blaming her for being stupid. I would blame her for not being educated. You know, she doesn't invest as much time and effort as I do into self-improvement. So I would always blame her for that and say how she just doesn't care. She's like, she doesn't advance herself, whatever. Like, I would be upset about it. But eventually I realized that I was a shitty communicator. Oh, can I curse, by the way?
That's okay, yeah.
Okay. So I was just a really bad communicator, and I was setting high standards for her, which I, you know, didn't have the right to. I also was not able to express my thoughts and my beliefs in a way without offending her. Like, I would be explosive, I would be emotional, I would be reactive. And so we would always end up in a fight. And I could have just kept on blaming her, but that would not resulted in anything healthy. In fact, that would just only result in a divorce. So what I decided to do eventually is to take control of the only thing that I can control, my thoughts, my words, and my actions, and just try to communicate in a way that doesn't offend her and that allows her to see my point. So instead of just getting reactive and explosive at something mean that she says to me, right? Mm-hmm. I let the emotion surface. I don't go for the emotional response. And instead, I basically say something like, honey, what you said just now offended me. I realize you didn't do it to, you know, on purpose or anything like that. I believe that this is why you said it. Please try to understand, like, please hear me out and see where I'm coming from. And make a decision whether or not you're right or whether or not we should arrive at some sort of compromise after that, okay? She's like, okay. And so, like, I just became more patient. I became more grounded in our communication. I just refused to take a lot of things personally. Well, not as much as I used to anyway. Like, I still would take sometimes I would take things personally. And just have a much deeper understanding of, you know, and deeper and wider perspective on the relationship as a whole, which of course, again, is just like just me showing responsibility for my part of the communication in that relationship without blaming everything on her.
It's so powerful. Yeah. Like being, like you said, reactive before, you know, now it's more of proactive communication, taking responsibility and the transparency. And Igor, isn't it so powerful too? Like when we start to have this personal growth in our relationship, it just spills into every other aspect of our lives. Like that's how powerful that relationship is.
Yes, I agree. And I guess it's partially why I'm addicted to what I do, because you always have to keep on improving, keep on, you know, have to get better. And also, I found that the whole, like, I wondered a lot about happiness recently. Because, like I said, when you got money and and you have all this time to think about like what life's all about, all of a sudden you start asking all these questions. And so I arrived at the conclusion that happiness is all about constant improvement, constant growth, because we're only excited and moving forward when we're outside of our comfort zone. And every time we learn something new, every time we make a mistake and work on it, this is when we expand our knowledge, expand our reach, and expand our awareness to a point where it's like, oh, wow, I now see, looking back, you know, how limited I was in my thinking. And all of a sudden, that gives us perspective. So,
You get that perspective, definitely, as you look back. And it's just like a continual wheel, you know, like you go through it, and then you learn, and then you just continually reflect on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I had my microphone muted just so you guys don't get lots of background noise.
No problem. So, Igor, yes. I was going to say, so just kind of coming to the end today, and I would talk about, we mentioned that English is your second language. Why don't you tell everybody about how, you know, like this was a difficult journey for you, and you know, today, like if you're, you know, somebody, you know, if you're listening to this interview, like you sound fantastic, and your pronunciation all the words that you're using, you're right on point with me, and it's powerful. You know, I think it's just a testament to how hard you work at what you do, and that was another thing that you had to work at.
Well, yeah, because I realized I could make a lot of money being an information marketer in the Israeli or Ukrainian market. In fact, I don't think that most people in Ukraine actually have credit cards, unless they're millionaires, believe it or not. So it's not like an advanced country.
Yeah.
So I had no choice. It was either, you know, I didn't want this to become an excuse, I guess. So I started reading a lot, watching lots of movies, writing a lot, speaking to you know, English speakers, and I just realized said, look, if I want to make more money, I got to become a better communicator. I got to become a skilled English speaker. And so that was one of my goals. And now people, well, first of thank you for noticing. And then second, a lot of people do. A lot of people approach me, especially the ones who don't speak English really well. And they'd be like, where did you learn? You know, how did you want to speak like that? And they, of course, expect the magic, you know, the magic button. But I say, look, you wanna speak great English, read a lot, write a lot, speak a lot. That's how you learn any language, period.
It's like, you know, like looking at Michael Jordan in the NBA. We when we're watching on television, we see the amazing dunk and, you know, just the shot after shot and the amazing skill. What we don't see is the millions and millions of hours. You know, I'm just exaggerating, but thousands of hours that he put in behind the scenes, you know, and how if you were to ask any of Michael Jordan's coaches from the NBA, that if you were to approach them, they would say he was always the first one to show up at practice and the last one to leave. And, you know, it sounds like from everything that you do, that's the kind of mentality that you have, that there's so much that goes on behind the scenes. You know, when somebody finally reaches out to you, for consulting or to get an information product from you, there's so much practice and building that goes in behind the scenes before they actually see Igor in the public, you know, in the public limelight, so to speak.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Nobody knows about, you know, the 14-hour work days, and you know, I used to have these fights with my wife. She would be like, "Are you coming to bed?" I'm like, "No, I got to do this one more thing. I got to send an email. I got to, you know, load up my follow up sequence," and she'd be like, "But you know, I can't fall asleep without you." I'm like, "I know. But you'll have to wait because I need to do this thing because nobody else is going to do it for me." And nobody gets that. Nobody sees that. They all see success. But then again, nobody actually wants to brag about it either. I mean, nobody wants to brag about how difficult the journey was, how awfully long the journey was.
Right,
you know,
right.
Everybody just wants to sell their own success, but...
Right, it's not sexy sometimes to talk about the journey.
Not sexy at all.
But I think it is, you know, and I think especially nowadays, you know, it's so empowering to hear about the journey because a lot of us are struggling, you know, and when we hear somebody like yourself and you know, how it took 3.5 years, you know, and today, you know, 3.5 years may not seem like a lot of time, but I know for myself, 3.5 years of an online business, that is a long time. And that's mentally, that's tough. And, you know, you kept pushing through, and it gives hope to people that, you know, that I can do this also, you know?
Yeah, 3.5 years in internet time is actually 35 years in real time, just so you guys know. So I'm like almost 70 now. honestly, it has been the most difficult thing I've ever done. Am I happy that I did it? Absolutely. Because I get to live life in a way that most people probably will never get to experience. It's not like I go to Thailand or live on an island or something like that. Like most people would probably imagine, I live in a hick town. Small time family man. I don't live a truly exciting life as far as experiences. I travel, four times a year, but nothing crazy. But I live life on my own terms. I decided that I wanted to live life like that. And most people will never be able to have this privilege. And so to get here, I went through a lot. And I'm happy that I did because I learned a bunch of lessons. Would I do it again? Absolutely not. I don't want to do it again. You know, when they asked Robert Kiyosaki about, him living in this car for 2 months with his wife, after he filed for his first bankruptcy before he got into real estate, he said that it was one of the best learning experiences of his life because it showed him, it taught him to appreciate things. It taught him to, some quite, important business lessons, and like a lot of good came out of it. But when they asked him if he wanted to go through that again, he said, hell no, no, not a million years. No, I don't want to live in my car anymore.
Right, right. It's amazing. We look at it as a snapshot when we see someone that's successful, but it is a big, big, big journey. Igor, this has been awesome, man. I want to ask you one last question before we go. All right. If you were suddenly at the end of your life and you were reflecting on all that you've been through, all that you've created, what kind of impact would you want to be remembered for?
That's a great question. I would want to be remembered for being a role model for the younger generation and for the older generation, I guess, for anybody who started out dirt poor, having no skills, no knowledge, and no clue, and eventually molded their life to their own image, like to the image they've had for themselves, whether it is with relation to money, fitness, or anything else. Just the whole going through the whole journey, which looking at the whole journey from the very beginning of it is so intimidating, but going for it. So if I was able to inspire somebody and hopefully assist somebody making it, then I'll die a happy man, especially if one of these people is my daughter.
Oh, it's so powerful. Igor, thank you so much, man. And as, myself looking up to you, I'm really inspired by your message and just, from what I've learned from you. So thank you so much for all the stories that you've shared today.
Well, my pleasure. And it's an honor, sharing what I learned and sharing the knowledge, sharing the experiences. And if you're listening and is, you're just on the brink, if you're just on the very beginning, taking the very first step, or maybe considering to take the first step, and you're just shaking and your knees are just, you've got tremor in your eyes and your palms, I'm sorry, in your hands and your palms are sweating. Just remember that we all felt like that.
So true.
Yeah, we all felt like that. But how to eat an elephant? One small bite at a time. So get on, get a fork, get a knife, and start eating your elephant.
Just start, start going at it. And Igor, we didn't get into solo ads, but I want everybody to go over to iTunes now and click subscribe to your show, your podcast that just launched recently. And it has been powerhouse, packed with amazing information. It's called The List Building Lifestyle. That is just like the tip of the iceberg of what Igor does. He's just sharing some of his knowledge. And if you start to look for him, Igor, what is the best way, besides the podcast, what is the best way people can reach out to you?
Just Google me, Igor Kafin. Just Google me or the word solo ads or anything really. Because I wouldn't want to send anybody to the solo ads website. I don't think that would be appropriate. So if you want, just Google me. You'll probably find me very quickly, either my Facebook page or my websites or whatever. And that would be probably the best way.
Awesome. And You know, everything that we mentioned today, everything that you had spoken about, it's going to be right in at positivityeffect.com, guys. If you just search Igor's name in the podcast tab, his name will pop right up, and you know, we'll link out to his page and his podcast. And you know, Igor, this has been great, man. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, Thomas.
Take care.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Positivity Effect. I promise to keep sharing inspiring stories with the guests every single day. I hope you feel inspired, and I hope that we stirred some self-reflection in you on topics like transparency, compassion, and empathy. Please check out the website at positivityeffect.com, sign up for the newsletter, and I'll send you some tips to get you thinking more positively. If you're really enjoying The Positivity Effect, please tell someone about the show. Together we can create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world, something that we need so desperately today. So thanks again so much for listening. See you tomorrow for another episode of The Positivity Effect.